People have powerful feelings about the traffic in Los Angeles. It says something that local officials warned motorists about a temporary road work closure on the 405 last year by calling it Carmageddon. Angelenos took the hint, and this weekend they're expected to steer clear of the latest 405 closure, named, of course, Carmageddon 2. That's how it is in L.A., a snarl of overstuffed freeways and commuters who keep their cool, except when they don't. KPCC's Stephen Cuevas has this profile of a punk rocker whose music expresses the insanity of L.A. traffic while extolling the virtues of public transit.
Couple of things you need to know about Eddie Solis. He lives in L.A., loves the band Kiss, and does not own a car.
Being someone who's from L.A., born and raised, and, you know, having a few cars in my past, I saw the city much differently through a different perspective through the eyes of a bus rider.
Want to stall way the back?
Line 18, Wilshire, Western Station.
Just steps from the front door of his home, across the street from a tortilla factory in L.A.'s Boyle Heights neighborhood, Solis catches a bus that connects him with the city's subway and the commuter train he catches to his day job at an indie record label in Hollywood.
It just opened me up to, like, little neighborhoods, galleries, clubs, bars, just everything. Just seeing what's out there, little pockets of the city.
Solis's journeys aboard L.A. buses and subway cars informs a lot of the material on The New Los Angeles Part 1, Through the Eyes of a Bus Rider, the latest release by the singer-guitarist band It's Casual. In Solis's vision of a new Los Angeles, people abandon their cars, climb aboard public transit, and rediscover their communities. One song extols the virtues of the L.A. County Metropolitan Transit Agency's Easy Pass and the urban underbelly it introduces to the rider.
And that's a nod and homage to, you know, the people who know what you can even go cheaper and really beat the system and really steer away from spending money on gas and oil profits and all that. Is all it takes for me to witness racial tension, for me to witness illegal aliens. It's not to paint a negative picture, it's just my perspective of what is seen.
Off the bus and back on the street, we make our way past a jazz saxophonist playing for pocket change and down a long escalator to catch a train.
So, where are we now?
We're at the Red Line station, the Pershing Square station in downtown L.A.
And what's our destination?
We're going to go down Fares, another tier, and about 5 minutes, we're going to get on the Red Line going northbound.
Okay, yeah. Let's go.
The Metro Red Line snakes from North Hollywood to downtown Los Angeles. It's the train that inspired It's Casual's signature tune and spawned a viral internet video. It was partly filmed late at night on a moving train as it hurtles from station to station. Solis thrashes away on his guitar and barks the lyrics, which celebrate the Red Line and call out the congested freeways that coil around Los Angeles.
Este es un tren de Metro Red Line a North Hollywood.
The 210, the 605, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the 210, the freeways are not so nice.
The thread that comes out of the record that ties everyone together is just like, be alive, don't be a victim of having a car.
MTA spokesman said he couldn't comment on Eddie Solis's furious pro-Metro message, but the Red Line video was a hit at the offices of Move LA.
Eddie's done a good job. Thank you, Eddie.
It's the public transportation advocacy group headed by former Santa Monica Mayor Denny Zane. He liked the juxtaposition of Solis blissfully riding L.A. public transit in one scene with scenes of the band raging against those notorious freeway jams.
Eddie is all frantic when he talks about highways. And so mellow when he's like grooving on a skateboard and on the bus and on the Red Line. There's a metaphor for the transformation, you know, from the, oh my God, I just got to get out of the traffic to, hey, this is cool. I can mellow out.
Or you can blast the tune like Too Many People as you claw your way across Los Angeles by car, bus, or skateboard.
Los Angeles. There's too many people. I want them to go away. Even though it makes me so afraid.
Too Many People could also be a motto for It's Casual. Over the years, the band whittled itself down to a power duo of Solis and a rotating cast of drummers. So you may think the burly, bearded punk rocker just can't get along with freeways, with people, or his native LA. Not true.
I love it. I love everything about it. I've traveled throughout the U.S. many times, and I could never look forward enough to coming back. The weather, the different cultures, the landscape. I was just like, you know what? Now I know why everyone moves to L.A.
Solis will bring the love and the volume during a Red Line mini tour next month. It's Casual will play a different venue within walking distance of several Red Line metro stops from Union Station to West Hollywood. For the California Report, I'm Stephen Cuevas.
That's the California Report, a production of KQED Public Radio in San Francisco. Our director this week is Nina Thorson. Seal Muller is our technical producer. We had additional engineering from Danny Bringer and Howard Gelman. Thanks to Hank Hadley at KCBX. Our online team includes Lisa Pickoff-White, David Marks, and Don Clyde. Our interns are Catherine Borgeson and Rachel Johnson. Tyke Hendricks is our elections editor with production help from Tina Lauerberg. We had editing support from Paul Rogers. Victoria Malione is our associate senior producer. Ingrid Becker is our senior producer. The news director is Bruce Kuhn. I'm Rachel Miro. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. And the California Endowment. Health happens in schools at calendow.org. And Chevron, investing in renewables, strengthening communities, and creating jobs. More information at chevron.com.
The 210, the 605, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the 210, the freeways are not so nice. The 101, the 405, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the I-10, the freeways are not so nice. The 210, the 605, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the I-10. The I-5, the I-10, the freeways are not so nice. The 101, the 405, the freeways are not so nice. The 605, the 101, the 101, the 101, the I-10, the 210, the 605, the 101, the 405, the I-10, the freeways are not so nice. The red light.
Welcome to another episode of Los Angeles Nista, and it's a Boyle Heights edition with the family involved with the La Mascota Bakery. And my in-studio guest today is Nacho Salcido and Michelle Barden.
Pleasure to see you guys. Thank you for coming in. Yeah, I'm really excited because La Mascota Bakery, you know, is an institution, and it's very important to a lot of people, I think, in the area. And before I moved to Boyle Heights in November of 2010, I've always, you know, lived in the east side, East LA through Pico Rivera, and always making the effort to go get the tamales. And, you know, this it's really worth the trip. And, it's always good to support independent business as well. And in addition to that, just support a family-owned business that has been so consistent. Pretty exciting. My question for Michelle is the history. I mean, you guys are celebrating how many years now? 61. Wow. And as far as the establishment, you guys have been there in the same location, correct?
Yes.
Wow. And you must have seen the neighborhood change.
Yes. It's always been very family oriented.
Sure.
And it's generation after generation. We've seen from grandmothers to grandkids, and everybody seems to know La Mascota Bakery for their food, their tamales, and it's been great.
Yeah, the first month I moved in, it was, you know, November, so the house I live in sits on top of a hill, and I remember, I think it was Christmas Eve morning, I got up really early for some reason. I had to be somewhere. It was like 5:30. 6, and it was dark outside still, and it was all foggy, and I was on top of the hill with a cup of coffee, and all of a sudden I see a bunch of people, and it looked like zombies, looming like with the fog looming over them. I was like, what's going on? I was like, oh, the bakery, of course, you know, this is going to be the deal, and it's pretty exciting. It just seems like, you know, that's like, you know, Mexican food.
It's tradition.
It's tradition in Los Angeles, and it's a big part of LA culture, and especially myself working, you know, my day job working at a record label, doing a radio show, meeting people from out of town that move here, you know, I really take a lot of pride in showing them what the East Side has to offer. For instance, people move here from Chicago and they're like, oh, you know, we want to hang out on the East Side, which is Eagle Rock. I'm like, dude, that's not the East Side. Just get on the goal line. I'm taking to Mariachi Square Plaza and then La Mascota. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's really, really cool. Do you know the actual, you know, backstory, how the bakery, you know, came to be? Which one of your family members started it? What was their name?
Ignacio Salcido Sr., my grandfather, and Vidala Salcido, my grandmother. They started it back in 1952.
Wow. And we already went over the fact that it's the same location. And have you guys, like, added anything new recently, or has it pretty much been the same menu?
No. It was a little place, you know. Typical little hole in the wall, you know.
Right.
And about
how many in years? 1999.
Yeah, in 1999 they expanded it because the property my grandfather bought there were some apartments. Well, those apartments were what?
They were condemned in the earthquake in the late 80s.
Right.
The Northridge earthquake, 91, 90. Or Whittier one.
Whittier
one. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Oh, so it got condemned?
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
So it was just vacant for years.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, to do something with it, you know, her mother, my father.
And the younger brother that's an engineer, he got the plans going on for an expansion.
Wow, that's exciting. I want to get into the fact that it takes a lot of work, a lot of manpower, a lot of hours to prep before you open. Now, you know, I get up pretty early and I come back. If I choose a drive or come back on the bus, you know, I'll come back and I get out of the car, get off the bus on a weeknight, and it's maybe about 10 or 11, and I see people in there doing their thing. Is that you? Are you in there that late? Oh, okay.
That's yeah. I mean, there's someone
and
there.
And I start smelling it about 2, 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm on the hill, then on the second floor.
Yes,
and
yes.
I smell it, and I'm like, I got my jazz music on. I'm playing some guitar, you know, doing some work on email. And I have the window open. I go, wow, here we go. So, so tell me, if you could really just, you know, explain your routine. I think it's important that people know. You see, every independent business has their own story. And I think the way you prep your food, you know, it translates into the end product. And it you know, it makes a lot of people happy. I mean, I think people want to know the preparation and the steps it takes to make all that happen.
The scenes, yeah, in the back.
Yeah,
in the,
yeah, yeah. You know. So what time do you get in usually?
My hours vary from 9 o'clock to 9:30.
At night.
At night.
And what's like the average, or not the average, but the usual steps you take to prep for the food the next day?
Well, you know, we try to have a clean, you know, facility. So, you know, first thing, you know, the bakers come in, we wash up. We
wash everything.
Wash everything, you know, including, you know, the hands and everything. And there's a little chart that my dad puts up and, you know, we look at it and, okay, you know, what he put down, we start going to work. It's a basic routine, you know.
Right. It's the same thing.
It's the same thing over and over. You know, it's not very much, you know, this is different, this is different. It's big, basically every day.
Same framework.
Same thing.
Okay, let me ask you this. How many tamales have to be made daily?
Ooh. See, that's a department that's not my department.
Or as far as the baking goes. Like, I love the pineapple and apple empanadas. You know that. I mean, like, how many of those? I mean, I'm all about the fun facts, like sharing with people. Like, these are facts. Like, do you know how many you make daily? Not sold, but how many, yeah, as a baker?
Daily, overall.
Overall, you know, it doesn't have to be exact.
About 500 pieces.
500 pieces?
Of the pineapple and the ones you and Nathan make, the pineapple and apple, the big, ooh, large ones?
I say roughly about maybe anywhere from 80 to 90.
Okay. Pieces. And that's daily.
That's daily.
Right.
Yeah, because everything there is fresh.
And is that the average count for a piece count for one item, would you say, when it comes to the bandulce and the sweetbread?
Give or take.
Yeah.
Yeah.
75, 80, 90, around there.
Yeah, around there.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. I mean, because that's a daily thing, and that's, yeah, like of each item. You guys have a lot of items.
Everything,
you know,
has its own name.
Samitas, you know, the, yeah, the little piggies, uh-huh, you know,
yeah,
and all that stuff. And, you know, one thing I'm going to drift off really quickly is I believe what's really cool about your bakery is not only do you have like the chicharrones and like the chorizo empanadas, right?
On the weekends.
Yeah, the hot,
menudo.
The hot ones and menudo. But like, you guys have a really good salsa in the refrigerator. That green one?
Yes.
Wait, awesome. What's the story with that? Because I like what I like to do is like I get the flaxseed chips that you guys buy, which,
yes,
is healthy.
Yes.
And like, I'll just get like, you know, the black tortilla chips, uh-huh, and I'll just like put the whole bag on a plate and make nachos at home and put that green salsa over the whole, yes, thing and just walk around my house, uh-huh, with that. So is that your house salsa?
No. It's actually a local company in the area.
Oh, wow.
That delivers that to us, and it's terrific.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, so that's a very, it's LA based.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting.
See, everything in the bakery is you know, like I said, pretty much made there, to the crema, to the fruits, to, I mean, everything we use there is pretty much either made there or, you know, sent daily
locally.
Fresh. Yeah, locally, yeah, fresh.
Right. And the tortillas?
Tortillas
locally,
yes.
Tortilla factory.
Wow. Uh-huh. Wow. Yeah, I think it's really important because when you deal with an independent business, it's, you know, when you, within any industry, I mean, I could walk through a printer that does LP jackets for the label I work for, and there's a human element to it. There's people working there, or there's people working in your facility, and, you know, it's a support system. I mean, you support independent business. You don't go to, I mean, hypothetically speaking, the bakery and Walmart. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Yes, yes.
You know, or the chains, and you want to support the independent businesses, and that just kind of branches out, yes, and helps the communities in the big picture. I think that's really important. What's your favorite thing to make? It's a job and it's a lot. Is there something like you like making and having a couple at the end of the day? Is there anything you like eating and making?
I mean, if you look at me, I like eating everything.
I mean,
my father and, my uncle, you know, they're typical looking bakers, you know.
Yeah.
You see bakers, you know, on paintings, on TV, you know, big cheeks and, you know, a big belly and, you know, looks like the Chef RD guy, you know. But right now I'm trying to, you know, come away from that look. But
so the actual, I hold a pineapple and an apple empanada in my hand. I'm so excited to eat it. I mean, what's the prep? I mean, like, do you have to, like, make the batter first? I mean, it looks just so awkward to me, the, you know, this piece of food. How do you make it?
You know what? To make the bread, it's scientific, you know.
I want to ask you these questions. I think it's amazing.
You know, my father, he's a master baker, and you know, it was a business, you know, that not fell into, but was born into, you know, and baking is in our blood.
So whose recipe is the empanada?
That's my father's recipe.
Oh wow,
yeah, that's his recipe. You know, a lot of times my grandfather, you know, coming from Mexico, uneducated, you know, came over and he was around.
He came over legally.
Legally.
Yeah. Legally, yeah. Because he did not want to be called.
Right.
Certain.
Same thing with my grandfather. He was from Michoacan. And thinking back in the 40s and 50s, mm-hmm. Is that more or less when he came?
If they opened in 52, so
40s?
Yeah, in the 40s.
I think my grandfather came in the late 40s, but, you know, and that's, you know, from Michoacan. And the thing is, it was a different mentality. It's like you fly the American flag on your porch and you start a business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you do everything illegal.
Right.
You know, and it is different. That was different compared to the way things go today. Mm-hmm. You know? So let's get into the customer service factor, you know, because Michelle is behind a counter and she's dealing with the locals and seeing people come in and come out. Would you say, like, your customer base, it's like the very consistent, like it's just all locals, like your rate. I mean, the whole pie of your customer service, is it new faces or is it all your regulars?
Recently, in the past few years, we've had a lot of new faces, and that's because of the internet.
We were talking about that.
Yes.
I think it's very a very exciting time for mm-hmm. people such as yourself that have a good product, because a lot of people out there, excuse me, that actually are open-minded and want to try new things will actually do the research and read about things and go venture out. I mean, one time I saw a tour bus parked in front of La Mascota with
yes.
a European tourist.
Yes.
And they got out and they went inside. I was like, wow, this wouldn't happen in the 80s.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
There's a tour company that incorporates our bakery
as a landmark place
yes.
to go.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and that makes total sense.
Yeah.
So you've seen more of that happening and new faces coming
yes,
in.
Yes, a lot.
Not just from out of the city. I mean, from out of the country.
Yes, our tamales have been shipped to Japan.
Iraq.
Hawaii. And our bread, it actually, we have a program where we donate bread to the military. So if you have a family member that's in the military, we will donate the bread and the family ships it.
Oh,
to
wow.
Them.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think that's really, really admirable that you guys do that. How long has that been going on?
Since the 60s.
Really? So
yes.
you actually ship it consistently to a base, or the family members come in?
The family members come in now. Before, my grandmother and my mother used to fill coffee cans with cookies and just send them
overseas.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's back in Vietnam, though.
Yeah.
Vietnam.
So they could have a taste of home.
Yes.
Right.
And keep them, like, you know,
yes.
excited and inspired.
Mm-hmm. And my grandmother actually had a soldier that came back in a wheelchair with the coffee can.
Wow.
And to thank her.
Yeah. Wow. And how long ago was that?
Was that
after Vietnam?
Yes. Uh-huh.
I mean, the human element that exists there, it just seems like, you know, you guys don't only connect with the people that come in every day and reside in that area, but just, you know, law enforcement, politicians,
yes.
You know, the tourist companies bringing people to see you guys, and then a trickle-down effect of the actual kindness that your grandma would convey, it comes back years later.
Yes.
You know, so I mean, bringing that, you know, Folgers coffee can.
Oh, yes.
I mean, that's.
And we would donate bread that would go across the border.
Okay.
So
to the orphanages.
Right. Getting back to the customer service, you know, aspect and seeing the people come in the door. I mean, you must have a nice core of regulars.
That's yes, we do.
Definitely. And would you say they're daily, pretty much?
We have customers that will come in every single day for their cinnamon coffee and a piece of bread on their way to work.
Yeah.
Every single day.
Yeah.
We have faithful, loyal customers. and they recommend us to their fellow coworkers, and it's awesome.
Yeah, I had a friend who works, this was probably last year or something, yeah, for last Christmas. She actually works in, I guess you would call it food design, where they make the food. They get hired on as a consultant on the commercials and television shows.
Okay.
And when they were going to bring, walking around with food, she designs the plates. And she's actually from Milwaukee, and she's, you know, she's a friend through a friend, and came to a party at my house once and saw the bakery. And I said, that's where you go for the tamales. And she actually, like, around Christmas time was like reconfirmed. She goes, so where should I go for the real LA tamales? I would just go here. Keep it simple. Yeah. That's, you're not going to get let down, you know? Okay. So it's, there's definitely a nice stigma attached to your place and everything you guys make.
One thing my mother emphasized was customer service. Without the customers, we would not exist. So we, all of us are trained to give the best customer service as possible.
That's great. And we're going to take a little break here and get into some tunes. My choice of music for today, because I'm going to go see them tonight at Pachanga, is a group called Los Lobos. And I got an interesting little fun fact when we get back from our break. So we'll play a few tunes from Los Lobos right now.
Baila, baila mi cariño, baila, baila. Blues Blues Band. Victor Bassetti on the congas. Come on, Victor.
Thanks again, folks, and you guys are... People are great, man. Couldn't do it without you.
Les digo, ten cuidado. to swing. I'm getting sick and tired of fanning your wing. Please stay now, baby, stop your game. Come on now, honey, don't give me my pain. Well, why do you do it on me, yeah? Well, why do you do it on me? Well, I'll be baby, now baby, can't you see? Rock it! Getting sick and tired of bending your way. Please stay now, baby, stop your game. Come on, oh, honey, don't give me more pain. Well, why do you do it on me, yeah? Well, why do you do it on me? Well, I'll be baby, now baby, can't you see? Brother, one time, baby.
Hey, welcome back to Los Angeles Nista. Your host, Edward Solis. Welcome to a Boyle Heights episode with our in-studio guests, Nacho Salcido and Michelle Barton from La Mascota Bakery. You know what? During the break, we had some of your amazing tamales, and I had a chicken. I had, I think, was it a pork?
Beef.
Beef, right? Yes. Beef, yeah. And my favorite is the cheese and chili verde, the green chili. Something about that. You know what I want to ask Michelle is, let's talk about internationally. You guys get a lot of online orders as well, right? I mean, it happens. You guys ship stuff to Japan?
Well, actually, the customer will come in and they'll ship them or they'll take them with them.
And do it themselves.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, right. We're not into the shipping yet.
Right. Before our break, we were talking about how the internet has changed things with people gathering and collecting information and knowledge about certain foods, and how there's a easy crossover for anyone to come in and look at something if they're interested. And we noticed that you guys are getting a lot more new faces the last couple of years. So does that mean business has increased? Have you guys seen a spike overall, or is it the same?
Well, when the economy got really bad,
right,
we were able to manage to stay afloat and
stay consistent, which is important, right?
Yes. And that what helped is the internet, the new customers, referrals, and because we, unfortunately, a lot of mom and pop places, you know, closed down due to the economy. But because of the new age, we were able to stay open.
Right. Now, one of my favorite features about going into La Mascota, like just any time of the day, but like on a weekend, is like when you walk in the little courtyard and you see the panoramic view of the people preparing the food through the glass.
Yes.
I think that's really interesting. It's like very personable, you know, and that's like preparation going on for the next day or for that day.
Basically, either or. For that day, if sometimes we run out of a certain kind. So we have the ladies making the tamales right then and there, and they go from their hands to the steamer or for the next morning.
What's the biggest, you know, I could easily, you know, I live so close, I could walk in and buy a tamale or two or three. What's the biggest or one of the most massive orders anyone's ever done? How many tamales have you guys had to make for one order?
Basically, one of the colleges, was over like 120 dozen.
120 dozen.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's like... Hey, let's do some math really quick.
Yeah, that was a lot. This.
So, yeah, that's a 1,440 tamales. That's a nice order.
Yeah.
But that doesn't compare to Christmas time. You know, we have these.
Yeah, let's hear about it.
We have these big tub looking sheets of metal that we call the Moby.
The Moby?
Yeah, because it's as big as a whale, you know? And we that thing just fits around, maybe around a lot.
A lot.
Yeah,
hey, I get, a lot of dozens.
I mean, there's a lot in that tray you brought.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's.
Oh,
like,
that's
nothing for that's you guys. Nothing. I mean, that's like a Moby.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, and I, you know, one other thing that I wanted to bring to light that I don't, you know, you guys have such a great reputation for the pan dulce, sweet bread, and the tamales, of course. But I see you guys have like a bakery side where you guys, you know, where you guys make birthday cakes as well. And I think that's kind of easily overlooked because people are thinking tamales. Does that make sense? Maybe people don't know. So I want to make sure people know that that exists and you can't get like order birthday cakes or something for an anniversary.
Yes.
What have you, yeah.
Yeah, cupcakes also.
Cupcakes, you know, tres leches, Hello Kitty, Justin Bieber.
Our head decorator, Naomi, she is Nacho's sister. And she's in charge of that department, the cakes.
Oh, very nice. Mm-hmm. Very nice. And how many different cakes do you guys offer, you know, that are in the book? You know,
well, I mean, people come in and, you know, we also do the photo cakes.
Right.
Where you bring in, you know, a picture of your son, daughter, mother, father, you know, and we'll put it on the cake.
Okay. So, for example, my favorite cake is carrot cake, right? So, if I wanted a cake for myself... If I just wanted to come in and say, okay, I want a carrot cake and I love Star Wars, can you make something happen?
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, it's not on the order form, but for Eddie, we'll do it. Special order.
So I mean, there's off the menu opportunities.
Yes.
Right.
For
yes.
Now, are there any off the menu tamales you would make for people?
We've
if you put in the order.
People have asked us if we make straight corn tamales.
Right.
Or if we could make like a chicken cheese,
okay,
together to you know, tamale, and the production is just so massive that just to put you know a dozen or even say five dozen, it's just we you know
we're not at that level. Yeah, we're not taking special orders like that, no.
And have you guys thought about maybe enhancing your online presence to take orders directly online through like a website with you know the choices where they people just check out and like with a credit card and then come pick them up or have them shipped?
We wanted to do something like that a few years ago.
It takes a lot of work.
Yeah, my uncle, he wanted to start doing that, you know, shipping to you know other states, you know, other countries, you know, what have you. And it was just a lot of work, you know, just
another department just
another
for department, that. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, dealing with
e-commerce online sales. Now, you know, I noticed, you know, they've been filming a lot of movies and television shows, excuse me, around my residence and your business.
Yes.
One day I walked out of the front gate and I saw Ice Cube and Woody Harrelson sitting at Johnny Shrimp Boat.
Yes.
Early in the morning and they were filming Rampart.
Mm-hmm.
That was about 2 years ago.
Yes.
I was like, are you kidding me? Like, they're just at a table talking.
Yeah.
And you see the signs. And at the break, we're talking about, you know, Law and Order and Southland, all that being filmed around the area. And you guys get some of those actors coming in, buying your stuff.
We've like you said, like anyone from like the politicians to like judges. Judge Ito is, you know, he's a regular.
Right.
Gil Garcetti at the time when he was, you know, the DA.
Right.
You know, he was a frequent customer. A lot of actors will send their people, you know.
Yeah, their assistants.
Their assistants to come get, you know, and they, oh, this is for so-and-so, and they'll leave a card or, you know, oh, okay, you know, Will Smith, he's been there.
Right.
We had a commercial done by Cheech Marin.
Okay.
Oh, that was the old bakery, but we had a commercial done by him, you know, and, you know. It's just like you say, all in all, you know, actors, politicians, law enforcement, athletes, you know.
And as far as the Christmas spike, I mean, that is like the peak for you guys, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now,
That and Thanksgiving.
Okay, I want to know, how intense is it for someone like, I mean, you, both of you? I mean, it just that's the time of year where it just spikes.
I mean, right. I mean, you gotta be on your game on those two holidays. I mean, yeah. I mean, if you're not ready or prepared, you'll get things thrown at you by customers. You know.
Well, it's so busy that we have to have security during Christmas.
Yeah.
Time.
Well, I mean, it's so patronized by so many people. I mean, so you actually hire external security outside and inside.
Yes.
To like kind of keep order.
Yes.
And it's that constant all day, right?
Correct.
And then I see like the signs sold out. You know what I mean?
Thanks, Eddie. You're blowing it for
me. What we try to do is right after Thanksgiving is have our customers get their tamales ahead of time. And they can freeze them and keep them till Christmas. Well, a lot of customers don't want to do that because they say it's tradition. I want to stand in line in the rain, in the cold, and I want to share my...
I want to be out there at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly.
And we guys, like, so what time do you open during the holiday season? Same hours?
Same hours, but on Christmas...
Six, right?
Five. But on Christmas Eve, actually, we opened at 4. And my first customer, I asked him what time he arrived, and he said at 2 a.m., yeah.
Yeah, I remember clearly seeing a short line. I think I got home like at 1:30 in the morning the night before, and it was like, you know, there was about 10, 20 people in line.
Yeah.
Like what was 1:45? It was before 2. I mean, it's really amazing that people will do that for food. Don't you think so? I mean,
yes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care how you know, I love a product. I won't wait there. Me personally, I won't wait, you know, 2, 3, 4, or 5 hours in line, you know, just for that one, you know. But yeah, you got a
tradition.
You got tradition. People that, you know, look forward to, you know, actually doing that, you know.
Right. So, I mean, so, you know, a lot of the information I like to provide for people is like, you know, just again, how much work goes into an independent business and, you know, how it's like you really have to sign up for it. You know, it's if you don't do it, it's not going to get done.
Right.
I mean, so during Christmas, you have to order more materials, more products. You got to really be on top of your game, like prepared to supply the demand.
Yes.
So is that something that you ever dabble like ordering the ingredients or...
Actually, the tamale department is our Uncle Victor's department.
Okay.
So he handles purchasing all the chili, tomato, the corn. We grind our corn.
You actually grind the corn?
We grind
on the premises.
Corn. Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Nothing, you know, everything's fresh. We still peel the garlic. Yeah.
By hand?
Yes.
By hand, yeah. See, that's great. I had no idea.
Yeah.
And then... You grind the corn on premises. You
make the masa.
Make the masa like someone would. And what time does like the tamales usually go in the oven or the pan dulce? Would you say to be ready at 5?
We like I said, you know, I get there by not only me but you know some of the bakers there. You know, about 9 o'clock. Start prepping, start making some of the, you know, making the doughs and everything by at least 2:30, you know, the first rack gets in to cook, you know, pops in, you know. So by at least by the time, you know, the ladies come to, our employees to come, you know, start fixing everything, you know, make everything pretty, it's all done for them, you know.
And you actually put the tamales on at about what time? 2:30?
About 2:30, yeah. I have an assistant with me, I call my little doggy, Nathan.
Okay.
You know, he's my right hand man. You know, I call him my number two.
All right.
So, you know, he's on the ball. Hey, do this, do that. You got, you know, so, cause you got to have a relationship with your employees to in order for, you know, everything to just
run smoothly.
I mean, it really is like everything has to be in rhythm completely, yes. Right?
Yeah.
To get it prepped, to get it baked, cooked, and then on the floor to sell and be eaten. And for this, you know, it's a support system. It's like,
right,
it's
right,
like
right.
Reciprocation.
Yeah. And, but like any food business company, you know, there's days where it comes out magnificent, and there's days where you're like, you know, like, oh, what did I do?
Explain how you have to wait to put it in the oven. Sometimes the weather.
Oh, okay. Right. Let's talk about that. I mean, so everything really is connected, and the weather outside determines sometimes the way things are going to come out if they're not done.
If it's going to rise,
right? Like, explain the situation.
Basically like proofing.
Okay.
You know, everything has yeast in it. So like, you know, your breads, your doughs, your, you know, anything that has yeast, you know, needs to be prepared before they're cooked.
Right.
You know, proofed. People have, bakeries have proof boxes, hot boxes, you know, some kind of a system to, in order for the bread to rise, you know, at that, you know, size you want it in order to start cooking.
Wow. I mean, there's a lot of mathematics behind
right,
it, so
yeah.
to say. And it's like that for every item you make, I'm sure. I mean, because filling will change the game too, right? You got to like
yes.
put so much and...
Well, I deal with pounds, ounces, pints, kilos, you know, every kind of, you know...
Measurement.
Right. So when people walk in, what exactly is made by Nacho Salcido? Baked by you. Let's
baked by me.
His specialty?
Yeah.
Niño envuelto.
Oh. Niño envuelto.
And that's a jelly roll.
Okay.
Yeah. So like I said, you know, I'm one of the bakers there, like I said, my buddy Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
He was born he grew up there. You know?
In Boyle Heights.
In Boyle Heights, but he grew up in the bakery. Yeah, as a little kid. Now he's 19, 20 years old. But he grew up at the bakery because his mom would, you know, work there and would bring him and, you know. So he learned all the tricks and all the traits and, you know. So basically, I'm behind the scenes.
But you're in charge of Eddie's favorites, the pineapple and the apple empanadas.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Those are great.
Yeah.
Because you can eat them any time of the day.
Mm-hmm.
I think. It's not just a breakfast thing. It's like, oh, it's like a dessert.
Yeah.
Or it's like after lunch, you know, kind of snack, that kind of thing. Now, let's talk about the weekend menu. You guys have additions. You guys make on the weekends. Michelle, can you let the people know what's available on the weekends?
Sure. On the weekends, we have fresh menudo, Saturday, Sunday morning. And
red
we
or white?
Yes, red or white.
Explain to those who don't know what red or white is.
The red is red chili. And the white is no chili.
No chili. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Most of your businesses that serve menudo serve, you know, the red. You know, not other places have white. I mean, there's places that have white menudo, you know. But it's just always been a, you know.
Choice.
A choice. But we've always wanted to have that both.
An option.
Yeah.
Is there a price difference or same?
No, the same.
Oh. That's what everyone's thinking. You know, how much are the tamales? How much, you know, what if I get a mix? Everything's the same price there.
Keep it simple, right?
Keep it simple.
If you complicate things and people get like all like scared.
Right. You know, they think the beef is more than the pork or the you know, the chicken's more than the cheese. I mean, it's all the same, you know.
Now, as far as the other weekend items.
Yes, we also have freshly made empanadas out of chorizo, picadillo.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only on Saturdays and Sundays.
Yeah. And those are both great. Yeah. I like my favorite one, the freshly made empanadas, is the picadillo. Something about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Now, do you guys have a Facebook or website you want to let people know about as far as...
We do have a website, yeah. And it's www.lamoscueta.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just basically to see what we're all about and our history and driving directions. But you call us anytime when you're on your way. We'll set whatever you need aside for you. You can place phone orders to make it convenient. So
I think at this point I want to talk a little bit about Boyle Heights. The show Los Angelesnista, you know, whenever I have a guest, we talk about what they're involved in and then we touch on the area that they're involved in. And I like to explain to people who listen throughout the country how to get there via public transportation. That's the message, to be car free in LA. It is possible. You don't have to, you know, spend money on gas and add to the congestion on the freeway. And I think it's exciting right now. I'm not sure how your opinion is, but the Gold Line. Have you guys ever ridden? I actually got on the Gold Line and took it from East LA to Union Station and get off on Boyle Heights.
I've taken the new one they just opened. Is it the Gold Line?
The Gold Line.
Yeah. from 3rd Street all the way to Alvarez Street.
Right.
Yeah.
And what was your experience? I mean, did you feel it was very smooth sailing or easy, or was it kind of inconvenient for you?
No, you know, it was very, very convenient.
Well, you know, what's interesting is, like, for instance, Mariachi Square Plaza, you know, there's a stop, a Gold Line stop, and it's underground, and you get up, you go up on the elevator or escalator, and then you're just like on 1st and Bailey. You know, and you're right by East I Love, the Mariachi Square Plaza. You see all the interesting, you know, businesses, the guitar store that makes the custom-made Spanish guitars. Yeah, you have the M Bar. And I think there's a really, I think Boyle Heights is the same, but I think the nightlife has changed. Because now you can actually go out and go to Boyle Heights and make an evening of it. And I've done that, showing people, you know, maybe from, I have friends that live in Burbank and Toluca Lake, for instance. You know, I'll give you different examples. And they're able to get to Boyle Heights easily. They park at the North Hollywood station, the Red Line, and they just take it all the way to Union Station in 17 minutes. And then they get on the Gold Line. And it's interesting, right? Because you actually go over the 101. It looks like the monorail at Disneyland. You actually over the freeway. It's fun. And then you go to Little Tokyo Stop. And then there's a First Street stop, and then Mariachi Square Plaza. And you're, you know, here you are. That took, you know, 40 minutes, and it's a $5 round trip unlimited ride. So people get there, and I've had friends, you know, we go to Clipper games or Dodger games, and maybe they're coming from that direction, or they're coming from maybe Whittier, and they park at Beverly and Atlantic, and they get on the Gold Line and meet me, or I'll go meet, I'll actually take it to go meet them and like come with them, come back with them, because it's all new to them. And it's like, for instance, you know, family and friends will come from Whittier, meet me at Beverly and Atlantic where that McDonald's is by the 16. We get on the Gold Line and you take it to, you know, to Mariachi Square Plaza or Soto, and we'll get to my house and we'll have tamales on the front porch and then get back on and go to Union Station on the Gold Line, and you get a free, if you have your Dodger ticket, you get a free shuttle ride.
Wow.
So even they're trying to get people like to take the shuttle. And it's really easy, because if you just show them your ticket, it's a free shuttle ride from Union Station, and it's just an MTA bus, and it's called the Dodger shuttle. And it runs 1 hour before the game, and it starts coming back seventh inning. And they run every like 10 or 15 minutes. And here's the kicker. So not only do you like, you know, you're able to have like a fun Sunday and eat the tamales and all that. And then like, and like not have to like be driving a car around, but you see more of the city that way.
Yeah.
Because you're not tied up. But when you get that free ride to Dodger Stadium, they go all the way into the front gate. Wow. So like, it's like when you park, you know, you have to park and then pay 12 or 15 bucks a park and walk.
15 bucks a parking.
And then you walk all the way across the parking lot, like trying to like not get hit. Well, when you take the shuttle, they pull up to the front gate.
Oh.
I mean, that's pretty
convenient. Service.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of great, great ways to see the city and experience independent businesses like La Mascota, I feel. The other thing is the nightlife factor in Boyle Heights. I believe like you could just walk in to, you can go to Tenno Japanese restaurant and bar and grill, and they have like a $2 happy hour for like imported beers.
Yes.
And that's right across the street from the Soto station. So like if you were coming from either direction, you get off on Soto and like walk across the street. Yeah, I want to like, you know, sit down and watch the game and have $2 imports. That's an option. Or all in the same night, if you did that, you could get back on the Gold Line, go to Mariachi Square Plaza one stop and go to the M Bar and see live cumbias. Like, there's stuff to do, and it's pretty interesting. And then East I Love, have you guys been there?
No.
Yeah, it's like a red building, and they make their own sangria. And they always have different art shows and photography shows up. And just really interesting, cool things happen. And there's the farmer's market now. Yeah, so all this could be done, like, within, you know, an afternoon or an afternoon and an evening without a car. So
I'm gonna have to book you, Eddie.
I want to take you guys on one of those excursions.
I'm gonna have to book you as a.
It just costs $5 all day for a day pass, and there's no parking, you could cover so much ground, you know.
Well, I mean that's so convenient in every which perspective of the way you know, you're exercising. You're
out there walking. Yeah. You're seeing the city more.
Yes,
you're connecting with the community.
You're supporting the
the green message. You're not like
right.
one person in a car.
Exactly.
And it's just kind of like you could like get off. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but what's cool about your bakery and your establishment is it's in the bus route that has a 24-hour line. The 18 bus is one of the very few MTA bus lines that's 24 hours.
Wow.
So it's like people could get there straight shot from like either K-Town or like the Whittier area,
Okay. Yeah.
So that's good to know if you guys have like new employees or.
I grew up in LA my whole life. And I've never been on the bus.
Really? Well, never. We're going to change that.
Unless you mean a school bus, well, then that's
the school bus.
Yeah, but I've never been on the.
Well, let me ask you a question, Nacho. Being like a, Angelino like myself, I mean, yes. Your sports teams, I got to know, what are your sports teams? What are your favorite sports teams? Are you a Lakers guy or a Clippers guy? Dodgers or Angels?
I'm Dodgers.
Yeah. I don't subscribe to the Anaheim Angels.
Yeah.
And to me, they're not the Los Angeles Angels.
I'm a Dodgers.
Los Doyers, right?
Doyers. Los Doyers. And football, I got to say Raiders, bro. I'm a Raiders.
Of course.
And basketball, I'll go for the Clippers, bro.
Really?
Yeah. I'll go for the Clippers.
The underdogs.
Yeah.
But you know what? I mean, they're hot.
But don't get me wrong. Anyone will give me free tickets to a Laker game, I'll take
them. You're there, right?
I'm there.
You're there. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, they're both playing great basketball right now.
Right.
And the cool thing is it's nice to see, I have a question for both of you. Have you guys been to LA Live?
Yes.
Okay. Growing up in LA, everything was such a chore. Like back in the 70s and 80s and early 90s, to go see sporting events and concerts. I remember growing up, I want to go see Kiss. My parents took me to the Forum. And it's just so far.
Right.
You go see the Kings or the Lakers at the Forum. You go see the LA Sports Arena for concerts or the Clippers. Or you go see the Ringling Brothers Circus. And it was just always just not easy to get to. But now, and I do this a lot, there'll be concerts or sporting events, at Club Nokia Theater.
Yes.
Or the Conga Room. And then there'll be maybe the Clippers or Lakers are playing or the Kings at Staples Center. It's all there. It feels like you're living in a city. Don't you guys agree that it actually feels like it's a city now because of that? I mean, what's your opinion on that?
Well,
you have much experience at LA Live? Have you been there before?
I've been there before. I'm a homebody, She's the one she loves the nightlight.
There's nothing wrong with that. So, so you've seen concerts there?
Yes.
Okay. Did you know you could take the blue line right across street?
I've seen it. I haven't done it, but I've seen it.
I had a funny story. Last year, last basketball season, me and my mother, my two nephews, we had four tickets to the Clipper game. And she was driving in the SUV from Whittier. She said, I'll pick you up at your house and we'll go. I said, no, park and we'll take the bus over the bridge and on subway. The red line to 7th Street and we'll just walk or we'll connect to the blue line. So I said, okay, whatever, It's up to you, your mom. You're the boss.
Right.
So after tugging, she wins and we drive. We pay $25 a park.
Oh, my God.
So we pull up. So we pull up here, this is the gate, the
entrance.
No, this is Staples Center. We go into the parking lot, and that's the fence, and then the blue line's right there. We pay $25, and then we park right at the very end, and on the other side is the blue line.
Oh.
Talk about irony. That's complete irony.
Yes.
And it's just like, you should be taking the blue line. It's just kind of it's so easy to get there. But, I see things at Dodger Stadium, King Tacos inside Dodger Stadium. You think there'll ever be a La Mascota tamale stand inside a Dodger Stadium?
Hey, you never know.
Yeah, you never know.
Is that a good idea?
That's a great idea.
I think you should. I think I have other episodes where I talk a lot about you guys. I love the place. And to me, it's just kind of like, even if I'm not really hungry, I'm just going to go in and nibble on something, It's just it's this part of LA and it feels like really, really close to home when you walk in. We're going to take another break. more Los Lobos, and we'll come back and wrap it up.
Excellent.
All right.
Hiya thunder. Look like the rain is gonna start falling. Rain. Falling from the sky. Someday we'll make it out alive. Rain, rain, rain. And evil rain falling all the time. Sun, sun, sun. Sun don't ever want to shine, yeah. As we go on this way, there's a storm off in the distance, and it looks like it's here to stay. Ooh. Oh, 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 yeah, 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 yeah. I was a third brother of five, survive. I'm not saying what I did was all right. Trying to break out of the ghetto was a day-to-day fight. Being down so long, getting up didn't cross my mind. But I knew there was a better way of life, and I was just trying to find. You don't know what you're doing till you put under pressure. Across 110th Street, the hell of a test. Street.
Throw a chunk at the head, pass on the tree. Get all tangled up, fall on the floor. hide from them all. Emily, they can't catch us. They can't catch us now. Can't catch us now. Can't catch us now.
Back. Welcome back to Los Angeles, Nista. In studio guests, Nacho Salcido and Michelle Barton from La Mascota Bakery. Lady and gent, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, yes. Is there anything you want to say to anyone that about your business that you want to inform people about? Is there any special things you want to put out there and leave us with? Or are you guys content with what we spoke about?
No, just that you know, we have the best customers in all of Los Angeles.
I agree. I agree.
We're very grateful to our customers that have been faithful, loyal, come in every day, every season. They're terrific.
And we're starting to see more of, you know, people coming in like, you know, I used to come in here with my grandmother.
You see that more now, right? They're about my age, maybe older.
Yeah. I used to come in, you know, I used to come with my grandmother, then my mother. Now I bring my kids here, you know? So it's like, you know, generations, you know?
It's nice to see that trickle down effect.
Oh, yeah.
And see, I think that's just like, it's just, you know, in the on this planet, I just think it's common respect for people, how you should operate on the street or on a business level. Just common courtesy.
Right.
And when you have a good product, and good customer service, right, people are going to keep coming back for generations. So with that being said, thank you very much.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thanks for coming on Los Angeles Nista, La Mascota Bakery. And I'm Eddie Solis, producer and host. Thank you for listening.